This podcast is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Domain names from GoDaddy.com are up to 70% less than the competition. Plus, each domain name includes free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and a lot more. So if you want to try it out and get 10% off, just go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD25. That's P-O-D and the number 25 when you check out. That'll save you an additional 10% on your order, and that'll allow you to get a piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com today. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to
Internet Marketing Unwrapped. Wrapped.
Now, here's Heather Vail.
Welcome to Internet Marketing Unwrapped, the world's first live teleshow, part teleseminar, part talk show, found online at internetmarketingunwrapped.com. I'm your host, Heather Vail, and every week I interview the Internet's top experts live to unwrap their most guarded secrets and help you unwrap your own potential for online superstardom and super wealth. If you'd like to ask a question at any point during the call, just press 5-star on your telephone keypad and listen for your cue to ask your question. This week's guest is the father of guerrilla marketing, inspiration to many of the top gurus working online today, J. Conrad Levinson. He has written over 30 books on low-cost or even no-cost ways to build and market a business, whether offline or online, and now he's going to share those tactics with you. Jay, thank you so much for being here today on Internet Marketing Unwrapped.
Nice to be here, especially on Halloween, Heather.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I've been playing with this whole guerrilla marketing, ooh, it's scary type of stuff, but actually, I really think that it's the opposite, that guerrilla marketing is inspiring, and it's the non-guerrilla marketing, the big budget marketing that can get kind of scary.
I agree with that.
For those who don't know, can you explain what guerrilla marketing is exactly?
Sure. Guerrilla marketing is going after conventional goals, but using unconventional means. I wrote the books because I was teaching at the University of California, Berkeley. I was teaching how to run a business, and students asked me to recommend a book on marketing for people with big dreams and tiny budgets. So I wrote the book strictly for my class, not knowing it would take out a life of its own and sell 14 million copies.
Oh, wow. So what exactly is the difference between marketing and advertising?
Well, advertising is talking to masses of people, and it costs money. Guerrilla marketing includes 100 different marketing weapons. One of them is advertising, and most of the weapons take hardly any money or no money whatsoever.
Can you run us down what some of those weapons are that don't take any money?
Well, having a marketing plan is one of those weapons, a 7-7 marketing plan, something that's so simple that anybody who works with you or for you understands it, and especially so that you understand it. Guerrilla marketing also means investing time, energy, imagination, and information rather than investing money. For example, writing a column for a local newspaper for no money at all, just being identified by your website and your phone number, or giving talks to local organizations. Many clubs in every community would love to have a lunchtime speaker come in and speak for 30 minutes and try to sell the audience absolutely nothing. If you do that, you're the expert, you're the authority, and statistics show that 50% of the people will end up buying what you're selling because they know you're speaking to their club, you're charging them absolutely nothing. So they show their gratitude by becoming your customer. That's the way it works. Giving free consultations. Those kinds of things cost you no money, but they do take, as I said, time, energy, imagination, and information. And certainly, using email is a no-cost way to market your business.
Now, when you first wrote the first guerrilla marketing book over 20 years ago, the World Wide Web didn't even exist at that point. So a lot of those tactics were, of course, written for offline businesses. What is the difference between marketing for an offline business and marketing for an online business?
Well, they're pretty much the same in that you don't have to invest a lot of money, But online business costs less because if you have a website, you can get a very low-cost website from a lot of ISPs. If you do that, then all you have to do is start collecting names of people who want to hear from you. Most people that you ask that to will say no, and you got to love those people because they're telling you not to waste your time or money speaking to them. But some people will say yes. And if you start building a list of those people and emailing to those people, brief emails directing them to your website, that's the way online businesses ought to be marketed. And these days, lots of offline businesses are marketing that same way, realizing that having a website is part of marketing in 2006.
Yeah. Now, of course, the big corporations have lots of money to put big marketing plans in place, and most of us don't for our online businesses. But how could even a big business make use of some guerrilla marketing tactics and make their marketing a little more effective?
Well, it turns out that although I wrote the guerrilla marketing books, all of them, for small businesses, I get asked to speak for lots of large businesses who are learning that they can use guerrilla tactics as well, tactics where you speak to small numbers of people rather than large numbers of people. You learn information about those people so you can use details when you're writing to them. It means having a spirit of generosity where you're giving things away. And these days, the best thing you can give is information. We're living in the information age. Information is easier to get than ever before. And if you view marketing the way a guerrilla does, and that is as a way of educating your market as to ways for them to achieve their goals, whether their goals are to make more money, lose weight, attract a mate, build their business, whatever it is, that's the kind of information you ought to be giving to people. And you can do that very easily on the Internet with a website and by writing articles, say, for other people's websites. Mainly, though, it's providing free information for people who will appreciate you and recognize you as the authority.
Now, what if someone wants to use those tactics which involve creating information, either writing articles or creating an ebook or report or something, but they might not feel like they're a good enough writer? What's the way around that?
Well, there are loads of writers that are available for very low cost. Just go on to Google and write free writers, and you'll find that there are loads of people who would love to write for you. They will charge you nothing. They probably want to be identified only by their name. There are services called, I'm forgetting, but one of them I think is called Elance, where you
right.
can find freelance writers to do the writing for you, or you can speak your book and turn it into a CD, which again, a lot of people who can't write are doing.
Do you think there's more perceived value in having an audio product like a CD as opposed to a written one?
I think many people think that. Because it's hard goods, it's something that you can really see and hold in your hands. Although most people care above all about themselves and about information that can help them.
Now, you mentioned having a marketing plan, and I know that as soon as you say that, a lot of people are going, oh no, I don't want to be making a plan. You know, it sounds like a very intimidating kind of thing to take on. What kind of marketing plan should we be putting in place for our online businesses?
A lot of my students who were students at Berkeley did just what I'm about to say and built Fortune 500 companies with seven-sentence marketing plans. A guerrilla marketing plan is only seven sentences long. Of those sentences, six of the seven are very short sentences. So anybody can do this. It forces you to focus. And it forces you to think through what you really want your marketing to do. The first sentence of a marketing plan tells the physical act you want people to take once they've been exposed to your marketing. Maybe it's clicking to your website. Maybe it's clipping a coupon. Perhaps it's calling a phone number or visiting your store or when at a store looking for your product. That's what the first sentence is about. It tells the physical act you want people to take. That's a pretty short sentence. The second sentence tells the competitive advantage that you're going to stress in your marketing. All companies have lots of benefits, but most businesses have some advantages that other businesses don't offer, some benefits not offered by your competition. Those are your competitive advantages, and the second sentence of a marketing plan only lists your competitive advantage. That's all. Again, a short sentence. The third sentence tells your target audience. That's a very important sentence and probably the shortest sentence, but the reality is some people have even more than one target audience. They have a few target audiences, so I recommend broadening your reach and aiming at more than one target audience. Still, that third sentence lists who your target audience is. The fourth sentence, which is the only long one, and it should be written as a list, lists the marketing weapons that you'll use. Maybe they include PR, maybe they include direct mail, possibly postcards, maybe email, maybe even advertising. If you go to my website at gmarketing.com, you'll find a list of 100 marketing weapons. They're also at our website at GorillaMarketingAssociation.com. Both of those websites, gmarketing.com and GorillaMarketingAssociation.com, have a list of 100 marketing weapons. 63 of them are free. So that's your fourth sentence, listing the marketing weapons you'll use. That, again, is not a very difficult thing to do. The fifth sentence tells your niche. It's what you stand for. When people hear your name, what's the first thing that you want to enter their mind? Is it economy? Is it quality? Is it convenience? Is it innovation? Is it flexibility? What do you stand for? When people hear your name, what do they think of? That's what the fifth sentence lists. The sixth sentence tells your personality, your identity. It's not your image, because an image is phony. It's defined in the dictionary as a facade. So guerrilla marketing strategies list your honest identity, because your identity stems from truth and honesty. All businesses have a personality, and in your marketing plan is where you list yours in one sentence. And the seventh sentence of a seven-sentence guerrilla marketing plan lists the marketing budget that you plan to invest. Last year, 2005, the average business in the United States invested 4% of their gross revenues in marketing. So are you going to be an average business that invests 4%? Are you going to be like Revlon or some of the cosmetic companies that invest 30%? Or are you going to find a happy medium someplace in the, say, 5% to 10% range? So those are the seven sentences. First sentence tells your purpose of your marketing. Second sentence tells your competitive advantage. The third sentence tells your target audience. Fourth sentence, the marketing weapons you'll use. The fifth sentence, your niche in the marketplace, known also as positioning. The sixth sentence, your identity. And the seventh sentence, the marketing budget that you're going to invest. And if you have those seven sentences, writing a marketing plan is very simple. I give my audiences what I speak. And of all things, Heather, I just came back from Transylvania, literally, visiting Dracula's Castle. So I am telling you that on Halloween, but that's where I was just 5 days ago. I give people 5 minutes to write a seven-sentence marketing plan. That's all it takes. And as I said earlier in my classes at Berkeley, I was giving that five-minute exercise. A lot of people formed a company and used that as their marketing plan, and they're still using it, and neither company is anything but tiny. They're very profitable businesses. Most people are intimidated by the concept of writing a marketing plan. But it's really simple if you keep it down to seven sentences. I've done a lot of work for Procter & Gamble, for example. Here's how good a company Procter & Gamble is. 97% of homes in the United States have at least one Procter & Gamble product in them. So that's market penetration of the highest order. And Procter & Gamble, all of their products are either number one or number two in the marketplace, and yet they have seven-sentence marketing plans, just as the kind that I'm describing right now. They may have 300 pages of documentation, but don't worry about that. All a person has to address themselves to are the seven sentences that go into a guerrilla marketing plan. It's really easy, Heather.
Would you be able to give us an example, maybe a seven-sentence marketing plan that you use yourself, so we can kind of see how that all comes together?
Okay, well, I don't really use a marketing plan for myself because most of my business now comes from invitations to speak from people who've who have read my books. But if I had a marketing plan, the first sentence would tell people to visit my website at gmarketing.com and see all the guerrilla marketing books that are available to them, because we cover the waterfront. We cover almost all the topics. So it's getting people to visit gmarketing.com. That's the first sentence. The second sentence, the competitive advantage we offer, is that people can earn more profits while investing less money. That's a competitive advantage that a lot of businesses, large and small, would really love to be able to hang their hat on. My target audience, that's my third sentence, are small businesses or clueless large businesses. The fourth sentence, the marketing weapons that I use, I write articles for newspapers, I write articles for magazines, I give talks at local organizations, I give away a lot of free information on my websites, and the websites, the weapons that I use are all things to build the authority and the credibility of guerrilla marketing. It's now the best-known marketing brand in history. The fifth sentence is simplicity, because as you just heard in the seven-sentence marketing plan, it's a very simple thing to do. This, you make it complicated. And so what I try to stand for is simplicity in marketing. The sixth sentence, personality. Personality of guerrilla marketing is friendly, warm, easy to read, easy to understand. And the seventh sentence, the marketing budget that I use, I only invest 2% of my gross revenues in marketing. It used to be 10%, but our revenues are going up and the amount we invest in marketing stays very, very low. So now it's only about 2% of my total gross revenues. And so that's a seven-sentence marketing plan that works for me, and many businesses can have just as simple a marketing plan that would work for them. Supposing a business had an adventure travel company, their first sentence might be to get people to send for their DVD about the adventure travel options that they offer. The second sentence might be adventurous vacations at low prices to exciting places. The third sentence might be people who want to have a vacation that's out of the ordinary and yet affordable. The fourth sentence probably would include the DVD, talks at organizations, our articles for magazines, newspapers, and other people's websites. There are lots of websites that are addressed to adventure travel. They would love to have an article on the kind of adventure travel that you offer. The fifth sentence, their niche might be adventure and fun at low prices. That would be a typical niche for a company that's engaged in adventure travel. The sixth sentence might be expertise and experience and trained trip leaders. At the sixth sentence would be great trips at low prices to very exciting locales. And the seventh sentence for them, this adventure travel company that I'm making up as I go along, but there are a lot who follow this, would be investing 4% of their gross revenues in marketing. Now, a simple plan like that can carry a company into a state of great profitability, and it works for any kind of business.
You mentioned that you only spend 2% now on your marketing budget, but since you've got 63 of your 100 weapons are free, how long could we go spending 0% on marketing?
You could go for a long, long time, maybe forever. The largest word processing organization in the San Francisco Bay Area, I asked the woman who runs the company how much she invests in marketing. She says about $30 a year. I said, $30 a year? How do you spend so much money? She says, there are lots of locations that have community bulletin boards outside laundromats, outside supermarkets. There are, in the San Francisco area, 600 locations where you can just pin up a 3x5 card. You can pin up a circular about your business. And the woman who has this successful word processing company, she found out which locations reach her target audience, which happened to be, for the most part, college audiences. So she posts her little 3x5 signs on college campuses, again, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And the cost for her to do that is really $30 is probably on the high side. She may spend less, but she did tell me $30. Her niche for her business is professionalism and accuracy. Her personality is getting it right the first time and coming to your house to pick up the things you need word processed, although these days it can all be done digitally online. And her seven sentence, she spends less than 1% of her revenue on marketing. And as you can see, although she spends $30, my guess is she doesn't even spend that much now because of the repeat business a good guerrilla marketer gets. My newer book is called Guerrilla Marketing for Free. That lists 100 different marketing weapons that you can use to get business. And you don't really have to add to that. Most guerrilla marketers find that they're investing less and less money each year rather than more and more money. It's not a matter of spending money. It's a matter of saying the right things to the right people. And the right things to say are things about the people themselves, because they don't want to read about your company. They want to hear about themselves. They want to read about themselves. If you go to a typical website, it's called a you website. It's called a me website. The website say, let me tell you about my company. This is the history of my company. These are our offices. These are our employees. This is our mission statement. Well, people don't care about other companies. As I said, all they care about is themselves. So a guerrilla website is a you website. Every word on a guerrilla website is about the visitor to the website. It tells them what they can gain. It tells them what they can do. It tells them the options that are available to them at hardly any money. And so by talking to people about their favorite topic, which is themselves, that's the way that you can get a lot of money without investing a lot of money. And you can earn these profits. And as I say, if you do a good job, you're going to get a lot of repeat and referral business. A guerrilla business doesn't grow the old traditional expensive way, which is to say growing linearly. Because if you grow linearly, that means you're adding new customers one at a time. But that's expensive, and it takes longer than a person should have to wait. So guerrillas try to grow their businesses geometrically. They do that by enlarging the size of each transaction. They do that by going for repeat business by means of a lot of good, serious follow-up. They grow geometrically also by tapping the enormous referral power of each one of their customers, because everybody you deal with is the center of a network. And if you just realize that and ask them, you'll find out that your best source of new business is old business. Your best source of new customers are existing customers, and all you've got to do is ask. And if you follow up with these people, asking means that they're probably going to go along, especially if you ask them for, say, three names who might benefit from getting on your mailing list. That's a pretty reasonable thing to ask for, only three names. And then in addition to enlarging the size of each transaction, having more transactions per year with your customers, and tapping the enormous referral power of those customers, in addition to that, you also grow linearly, the old-fashioned way. And if you're growing in four different directions at once, you find out that your profits go up on a regular basis, but your marketing investment goes down, because how much money does it take to enlarge the size of a transaction? It costs nothing. How much money does it take to get repeat business? Well, if you do your follow-up and stay in touch with people and thank them every time they make a purchase, you're going to find out that they'll be inclined to buy from you again and again. How much money does it cost to get people to give you referrals? It means giving them a good service and then asking them for the names of people who might benefit from hearing from you. And finally, you might have a website of your own. So that's the way you can add new customers one at a time, by using email to get those customers. So that means you're growing geometrically. That's the most inexpensive way to grow. It's the most certain way to grow. It's the fastest way to grow. And it's the way that a lot of guerrilla marketers have grown their businesses.
So let's go back to the example of the hypothetical travel website that you were talking about. How would they put those four tactics into place to grow their market share?
Well, if a person signed up for, say, a 5-day trip, they might say, you know, we've got a 10-day trip that takes you to even more exciting places, lets you see more beautiful scenery, and shows you places you never dreamt existed on this planet. It would tell people about things you offer that may not have entered their mind, which causes them to buy a more lavish trip than they were planning on buying in the first place. So that's a way you're enlarging the size of the transaction. I do consulting to Mercedes-Benz of North America. They train their salespeople in that same idea, because a person goes to a Mercedes showroom with the idea of possibly driving out in the most inexpensive Mercedes, but they don't do that. They drive out in a slightly more expensive Mercedes, because those salespeople have been trained in the art of enlarging the size of the transaction. It costs absolutely nothing. An adventure travel company also, by having repeat business, they would, after a trip, they would write the people letters thanking them for coming on the trip. They might send them photographs that they took or videos that they took on the trip to help those people remember the good times that they had on the trip. That brings about referral, that brings about repeat business. And then ask those people for the names of somebody else who might want to have the same kind of trip that they had. That's the way that they're going to give you referrals. And then, as I say, they should have their own website and send emails to people who visit that website voluntarily. And that's the way that they're growing four different directions at once: larger transactions, more transactions, referral transactions, and growing the standard old-fashioned way. That's a way that an adventure travel company has and does grow a business. I've done a fair amount of adventure travel myself, and the company that I dealt with did all those things, and I hadn't even written my book by that time. Mm-hmm. They just happened to know that instinctively, because people who think of their customers, people who know the real definition of service, they fare the best. The real definition of service, regardless of what people think it is, service is anything the customer wants it to be. It's not what your parents taught you, or it's not what you learned in school, and it's not what you used to do. It's anything the customer wants it to be. Businesses that realize that that's what service really is, they get a lot of good word-of-mouth marketing, they make a lot of friends, they get a lot of repeat business. And they also have to understand the definition of quality in 2006. Quality, people think it's what they put into their product or their service, but quality really is what people get out of your product or service. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with your customers and your clients. And the adventure travel company, they remind people of the good times they had on the trip. They mention new trips that they're offering this year or next year. That's the way they get a whole lot of business. And it doesn't cost much money for them at all to do that. The cost of the DVDs that they send out at the cost of possibly maintaining their website are the only costs that they incur. Guerrilla marketers have very low marketing budgets, not because they are taffy pockets, but because they find that good marketing is really a matter of common sense. All the things I'm saying, Heather, are things that I imagine the people listening have already known, but not many people put those things into practice. That's why guerrilla marketing is so simple, because it's based on common sense and simplicity.
Okay. Now, I'm going to zero in a bit on sentence number 2 of your 7-sentence marketing plan, which is competitive advantage. Now, a lot of the times when we're doing online businesses, people are working as an affiliate or working as a reseller, so they're selling a lot of the times the same products that other people are selling in the same market. What's the key for them to be able to stand apart from the competition and say, I'm the one you should be buying this from, I'm the one you should trust?
In the case of an affiliate, by making it easier for the affiliates to sell, by providing them with more materials they can use to sell whatever product or service that they're selling, if they provide more service, if they provide more materials to make it easy for affiliates, that's a way for them to stand apart from other people who think that all they have to do is mention what they do and mention what they offer. The people who offer more service and more help to their clients, their customers, and their affiliates, those are the people who will stand out, and that's their competitive advantage. I once received a postcard, and it said, your place or mine. And I called them and I found out that they're an automobile detailer. They detail your car, but instead of normal detailers, and they realized there were loads of people like that, they had to have a competitive advantage. So they offer the advantage of, we'll detail your car at our garage or at your home or at your office. By saving people time and by offering that competitive advantage, they're able to become one of the largest and most successful automobile detailers. And at first, they didn't even have a competitive advantage. They had to ask themselves, what might my customers appreciate? And then they came up with this idea of house calls for detailing. And by offering those house calls, they were able to get a lot more business by hanging their hat on that one competitive advantage. Do business with a bookstore, and their advantages are the same as any other bookstore. It's clean, it's well lit, they have good salespeople, they have a great selection of books, they offer to ship books anywhere, they have a website to make it easier for ordering. So what do they offer as a competitive advantage? They have a cafeteria in their bookstore. They give free pastries to people who are patronizing their bookstore as long as they don't eat the pastries in the bookstore itself. So that's their competitive advantage. And a lot of people go there because of their carrot cake or their banana bread. You'd think that they'd go to a bookstore because of the books.
Yeah.
But the bookstore realized, they were like all the other bookstores, they asked themselves, what can we use as a competitive advantage? A store that sells, for example, fishing tackle and appreciates, and their target market is fishermen, they might have hours that start at 5 in the morning, because that's when a lot of fishermen start tossing out the lines on the water. And their competitive advantage was hours that were convenient for their customers. The crucial thing is that a customer, is that a business, if they don't have a competitive advantage, they have to create one. It's got to be the truth. It's got to be different. It's got to be something that their competitors aren't offering. And that shouldn't be very hard. Because if you become a customer of one of your competitors, or two or three of your competitors, you find out places where they could do it better. And then if you start doing it better instead of them, you can start advertising or mentioning that competitive advantage. I shouldn't use the word advertising when I really mean marketing, because advertising does cost money, and guerrilla marketing very frequently doesn't.
Do you have a favorite success story of somebody who used guerrilla marketing effectively and was able to build their business spending very little money?
Well, there is a woman in New York who runs a summer camp, and there's lots of summer camps in New York State, but she has the largest, most successful summer camp of all, and she spends hardly anything marketing, so how does she do it? She does it with guerrilla marketing. She runs little tiny ads in the camping directories in the back of magazines in the Northeast. And in those tiny ads, she does not try to sell the camping experience. Instead, what she does is offers people her free DVD. When people send for the DVD, that's the way they've given their consent to hear from her. She also has a booth at camping trade shows. It's not a very expensive booth. And again, at that booth, she does not attempt to sell the camping experience, because you just can't do that with just a booth. Instead, she gives people away. She gives them her DVDs. When people go home and view the DVDs, they find out that there are trained counselors, beautiful settings, great equipment, and happy camp for campers. Does she attempt to sell the camping experience with that DVD? No, she doesn't. All she tries to do is to get people to sign up for a free in-home consultation. 84% of people who ask for a free in-home consultation sign up their kid for that next summer camp. And not just their kid, but maybe their kid's brother or sister. Maybe some of their cousins get signed up, and some of the classmates. And not just for that summer, but for the summer following and the summer following that. So that woman sells a very high-ticket item that lasts several years, and you ask, what's the cost to do all that? Well, the cost was to make a pretty good DVD and to run a little tiny ad a few times each year, and that's all. That's pure guerrilla marketing. She tries to get it on a one-on-one basis as much as possible, and as I say, she succeeds 84% of the time. When I tell you she has the largest and most successful and profitable summer camp in all of New York, you can imagine that woman brings home close to a seven-figure income each year. So you can make a lot of money without investing a lot of money if you're willing to invest your time, your energy, your imagination, and your information. And that's what she does. And that's what lots of businesses can do. Those are easy investments to make. Time is not money. People now know that time is far more important than money, because if you run out of money, there are many ways to scrounge up more. But if you run out of time, there aren't. So this woman realizes the precious nature of time, never wasting the time of the people who are her prospects. She also invests imagination. Imagination is figuring how she's going to get through to these people without trying to rush the sale. I say that it's time, energy. It takes energy for her to show up at those camping trade shows. It takes energy for her to show up at people's homes or apartments to make an in-home presentation, an in-home consultation. That takes time, energy, and imagination. And finally, information. She's learned because she gives customer questionnaires to the parents of the kids who go to her camp. She finds out what the kids like best about the camp. And once she knows that, she's able to say the right things in her marketing. That's the area of information. So she invests time, energy, imagination, and information. But as you can tell, she does not invest a lot of money. And that's just one of many success stories of people who built their business by using guerrilla marketing. Listen, Apple also uses guerrilla marketing. Some of the top people at Apple, at Microsoft, were in my classes, and they learned how they can market their businesses by investing those four things. It's not hard to do. None of those businesses started out big or started out well-funded, but they started out with time, energy, imagination, and information. Then they built their companies. Now, they both invest quite a bit of money, but it still represents a very small fraction of the amount of money they bring in each year.
If that woman's getting an 84% conversion ratio from the people that request the in-home consultation, that's actually a huge conversion ratio for a high-ticket item. How long do you think it would take to get to the point, tweaking and testing, to find out what works and what doesn't work and get to such a high conversion ratio like that?
It probably took her about a year. She probably spent 1 year not doing all that well, but learning as she went along. Every time you have a failure, that's another step towards success. So she was learning as she was going, and she learned that she doesn't have to spend money advertising, that just one little ad will do. And she had a DVD that showed all the good things about her camp. That would be a way to build trust. You used the word trust in a question you asked just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing that attracts people to a business, confidence in that business. A study was conducted in 1995. It is repeated in 2005. And the results were the same both times. The question was, why do people patronize the businesses that they do? And of all the variables, price came in fifth. 14% of people said price was number one to them, which means that 86% of people thought there were more important things than price. So she knew that price was not going to hit the nail on the head for her. The factor that came in fourth was selection. So she learned that at her camp, she has to offer a selection of activities for the kids. In her case, also a selection of times when the camp is in session. It's not just one summer. It could be half a summer for some people who couldn't afford an entire summer. And the factor that finished in third place is quality. And I mentioned that quality is what people get out of your service rather than what you put into it. The factor that finished in second place was service. And service, as I said, it's anything the customer wants it to be. And the number one overwhelming factor in why people patronize the businesses that they do is confidence in the business. And this woman, by giving her DVDs, earned the confidence enough from people who were willing to call her up and ask her to spend an hour of her time and their time with them talking about the camp. And by her doing that, she earned their confidence. And once she had their confidence, it was not easy. It was not difficult for her to get that 84% conversion rate. That doesn't happen immediately, but in her case, it took a year. In the case of Marlboro, for example, which is probably the best marketed brand in history, they had Marlboro Country, and they had come to where the flavor is They invested $18 million in it the first year, but at the end of the first year, the brand, which had been the 31st largest selling cigarette in the country, was still 31st. And it was perceived of as a feminine brand, and they wanted to change it to be a masculine brand. And so Cowboys were able to do that. But at the end of the year, at the end of $18 million, the brand was still 31st largest seller. It still, in focus groups, was proven to be a feminine brand. But now we switch to today. We switch to late October, Halloween, 31st of October in 2006. And Marlboro's the number one selling cigarette in America. Number one to men, number one to women. It's the number one selling cigarette in the world. And in fact, one out of every five cigarettes sold on planet Earth is a Marlboro. But the shocking factor is that nothing has changed in the marketing. It's still Marlboro country. It's still Cowboys. It still comes to where the flavor is, because the chairman of Philip Morris, the chairman of any company that hits it on the head, is commitment. What makes a marriage work? Commitment. What makes a business work? Commitment. What makes marketing work? Commitment. It doesn't happen in a hurry. In Marlboro's case, it took 2 years. In many people's case, when they ask me, how long will it take to what marketing works, I tell them to figure on 3 months, because if you do everything right, nothing's going to happen those first 3 months. But at the end of 3 months, you're going to see glimmers that it's working. At the end of 6 months, you're going to see proof positive that it's working. And every month thereafter, as long as you stay committed to your marketing campaign, not an ad, it's a whole campaign, it's a whole marketing program. It doesn't have to be in the mass media, as Marlboro was able to do. It can be online. It could be lots of other ways. It could be talks that you give, other ways that you're building your credibility and your authority. And if you do that, you find out that at the end of the year, everybody begins to see, everybody seems to have known what you're about, what you stand for, and they're inclined to do business with you because you have earned their trust. You have earned their confidence. So anybody who expects marketing to work in a hurry is in for a whole lot of frustration, because instant gratification is not part of the deal. That's not part of guerrilla marketing. It takes time, but if you're willing to invest that time and not be in a hurry, you'll find that marketing works for you every time. As I say, it's not for people who need instant gratification. And these days, for many people, instant gratification isn't fast enough. They want it even faster. But I'm sorry to say, it doesn't happen fast. It happens eventually, and it happens with commitment. Commitment takes time. It doesn't happen instantly. But, oh boy, it really works. The graveyards of marketing are littered with wonderful marketing campaigns that were abandoned too soon because the owner was really clueless when it came to understanding marketing. They thought if you do everything right, you're going to start getting customers beating a path to your door. But it doesn't work that way. It works over a matter of time. It takes a while before people will give you their trust, give you their confidence, and then give you their business. If you understand that, you'll find out that marketing works very well. Look at the Fortune 500 companies. None of those were built in a hurry. All of those took a long time to build, and yet those companies are enormously successful, and they all started as entrepreneurs. They started as small, usually penniless people with a good idea, and then they had the commitment to create a brief marketing campaign and to hang in there with that campaign until it starts working. And as I say, figure it takes about 3 months. If you think faster than that, you're going to have to reach for the antacid, because it doesn't work that fast.
Okay, so we've heard some success stories. Are there any stories where guerrilla marketing was, in fact, the scary option and it didn't work, backfired?
You know, the only time I've ever heard of it backfiring is when people misunderstand it. They think, for example, that putting leaflets under the windshield wiper of a car is a way to get business. Well, people resent doing that. Some people these days even think that if you use graffiti, that's a way to do guerrilla marketing, but that's a way to offend the community instead. It backfires if you bend ethics. Guerrilla marketing holds up a very high ethical standard. It says you should never bend the truth. It means that you should always be telling the truth and giving people the exact information that they need. And know, listening to them, mastering the art of listening is another way of succeeding with guerrilla marketing. People who don't understand that find that marketing fails. And the biggest cause of failure by far is people who are in too much of a hurry and people who think that if you have a good marketing plan, a good theme line, a good logo, and the right kind of people, and you've got good marketing materials, marketing will work in a hurry. But marketing hardly ever works in a hurry. And people who think it does are people who fail, even with guerrilla marketing.
So once we get guerrilla marketing down, and we're good at getting the free marketing happening, or the marketing that costs very little, can we leverage more sales by, instead of spending the time, actually going and spending more money and doing advertising the big budget way?
Well, I don't recommend that, but the truth is, if you do start investing in big budget kinds of marketing, you find out that then people have heard of you. And when you contact them, send them an email, send them a letter, or send them a postcard, instead of being a stranger, they realize they've heard of you before. Here's a great guerrilla tactic that works, again, for everybody all the time, not only in America, not only in Canada, but all over the world. And that is community involvement, becoming active and working for your community, because people would much rather buy from a friend than from a stranger. And once they see how hard you're working for the community, you're separating yourself from the ranks of strangers. Another thing that I recommend, this one does cost money, is I say you ought to consider running a full-page ad in a national magazine. Now, I don't mean in the national issue, using Time magazine as an example. It costs about $88,000 to run a full-page ad in Time magazine, wow. But they have a lot of regional editions where it costs, say, $1,500. Or $1,800 to run a full-page ad in their magazine. And I recommend doing that, not because you're going to make money from the ad, because you're probably not, but you're going to be able to use reprints of that ad for the next century, if you'd like. And those reprints always say at the bottom, as advertised in Time magazine, and you put those reprints onto your website. You pin them up at where there are community bulletin boards that other people are pinning up marketing materials. And if you run one ad one time, you'll find out that the reprint value of that ad brings you profits for many, many years afterward. It sounds like it costs a lot of money, but the truth is it doesn't, because if you amortize that, say, $1,500 over the cost of 10 years, that comes to very, very little, and yet you're known by the company you keep, and if people see your ad in a magazine next to an ad for Rolls-Royce, next to an ad for IBM, they're going to think that you're probably just as good a company as those companies, and so they're going to believe in you. Credibility is also the name of the game. And if you do something like run a big ad or advertise on cable television, the cost of cable TV has lowered to the point where it costs no more than $20 for a commercial in prime time in any city in the United States. I come from Marin County, north of San Francisco, where it costs $12. In San Francisco, it costs $18. For 30 seconds in prime time, that's because of cable television. Networks are not making the money they used to make. Many of them are losing money. They're getting smaller on a regular basis. That's because cable companies are getting larger, and that's because small businesses that thought they could not afford television are finding out that they can afford television on cable TV and at odd hours. If you advertise like that, you can now use the Maxi Media without investing Maxi dollars. That's another precept of guerrilla marketing. You can act like the big spenders without the necessity to spend big. That's one of the reasons guerrilla marketing is working so well around the world. I just came back from pretty much a worldwide trip where I was speaking in Italy and France. I was speaking in Transylvania in Greece. And I was finding out that my books have been translated into all those languages, and lots of small businesses have built themselves up by using those guerrilla marketing principles. The reason guerrilla marketing has worked so well is because it works. When I tell you that my books are now in 43 languages, one thing I've got to admit is that I'm probably the only author you'll ever talk to who doesn't understand 42 editions of his own book. But it also attests to the fact that people around the world are finding that guerrilla marketing works for them, that they can grow their small business without having to spend big. And that's what I hope people do, realize that it's a simple process. It doesn't happen in a hurry, that you can use the expensive seeming media, but it doesn't cost as much to advertise on TV as before. It doesn't cost you the cost of a full-page ad when you could run a full-page ad in a regional edition. There are newspapers that only used to offer the edition that goes to the whole metropolitan area, but now most newspapers have zone editions where you can advertise to just one zone of a metropolitan area. In San Francisco, for example, there are 7 or 8 zones. You can advertise in the largest paper in the Bay Area, which is the San Francisco Chronicle, and not have the ad cost you $1,000, but have it cost you $80 because of the realization that small business is a huge power in the world today, and the media are doing favors for small businesses, and what they're doing is making their media more affordable for those businesses. And guerrilla marketing means using the weapons of guerrilla marketing and then paying careful attention, because all those weapons aren't necessarily going to work. Some of them are going to hit the center of the bullseye. Others are going to miss the target entirely. And you've got to keep track. You've got to ask everybody who gets in touch with you where they first heard of you. And if you do that and you keep track, then you'll know which media, which marketing weapons to eliminate. Because it's not a matter of using a lot of marketing weapons. It's a matter of using the ones that have been proven in action for you. And it's a matter of not just using the free weapons, even though there are a lot of free marketing weapons. It's a matter of using a combination of some of the free weapons, some of the paid weapons, mainly, though, the ones that have been proven in action to produce profits for your company. And a guerrilla trait is realizing that you don't measure the performance of your business by your sales or by the amount of hits to your website, but by the profits you are earning. Profits are always telling you the truth. And guerrillas do not kid themselves. They want to know the truth. They want to know what reality really is. And profits are reality. I know a lot of companies that have had record-breaking sales months, but they lost money that month. And that's not what it's about. It's about earning profits. So you've got to learn to eliminate the things that aren't working, double up on the things that are working, and then you'll find that you've got a guerrilla campaign in place that really works. How long does it take for you to get a campaign, to get a marketing calendar that is loaded with things that have been proven in action for you? My clients tell me it takes 3 years to get a marketing calendar where every month you're able to use marketing weapons that you know will hit the bullseye for you. They say that once they have a marketing program like that, it's a lot like getting into heaven without the inconvenience of dying.
Well, I'd like to invite anyone who would like to ask Jay a question to do so now. Press 5-star on your keypad so I can see the hands raised. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Jay's a genius when it comes to guerrilla marketing. He's the one who invented this whole thing. So now, in the meantime, Jay, while I'm waiting for that, I've set up a special page at marketingunwrapped.com/guerrilla, marketingunwrapped.com/guerrilla, and that's spelled G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A, and that will take them to the Guerrilla Marketing Association page. Can you tell us what the deal is with the Guerrilla Marketing Association and what they would get by signing up?
I'm sure glad you asked, Heather. As an author, one bad thing about being an author is I see my book at Barnes & Noble or at Borders, and I see 3 things in the book that I wish I hadn't said, and that's because those things have changed since I wrote the book. I also think of 3 more things that I wish I said but I didn't say. That's because when I wrote the book, I didn't know those things. I'm learning as I go along, as all guerrillas do. And the Guerrilla Marketing Association is a way for me to publish new marketing information on a regular basis. So we publish a monthly newsletter, and it's not just a newsletter. It also has video interviews, 5-minute video interviews with authors, experts, Fortune 500 presidents, people who freely give very, very valuable information. The Guerrilla Marketing Association gives you access to a forum board where you can ask any question you want about your own business. You know, what should be the headline for my ad? What should my yellow pages ad say? what do you think of this email? Critique it for me. So you get to ask any question you want. You'll get an answer within 24 hours from one of a team of at least 24 experts, people who are authors or professors, demonstrated experts in marketing. It also includes a weekly newsletter. It also includes a website that has a new marketing tip on it every single day. So when people visit the website, they get to get a marketing tip every single day, a tip that can transform their business. And in addition to that, we have a weekly phone call every Wednesday night. I'm on the phone with members of the association, and they call in from around the world because they can ask questions, personal questions about their own business, and get an immediate answer. The cost to join the Guerrilla Marketing Association is the cost of a cup of coffee a day, and I'm not talking Starbucks. I'm talking the cost of a cup of coffee the way it used to be before Starbucks. Not that I'm knocking Starbucks. They're a good guerrilla marketer because they understand that small businesses have grown, but people get lonely. So coffee shops is a good place for them to congregate. So Starbucks have put in lots of wireless opportunities for people to do their work right at a Starbucks. So the cost to join the Guerrilla Marketing Association is, as I say, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. It's $49.97 a month. And for people on this phone call who go to InternetUnwrapped.com/Guerrilla, which thank you for saying it has two R's and two L's, we'll give them the first month for free. So any listener can join our association for a month at no cost at all and ask their questions, get on the phone calls. Now, read the newsletters. We have free courses on our website at GuerrillaMarketingAssociation.com. They can take the courses and they can keep what they get at no cost. We make this offer because we know that once a person joins our association, they stay because they get so much value. It's like having a $1,000 an hour consultant. And as I say, the cost is less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day.
So I don't see any hands up right now. This is last call. If you have a question for Jay, it's 5-star. And that's great, marketingunwrapped.com/guerrilla, and you get 1 month free. So you can check out everything that Jay has talked about, be able to talk with him and learn from him personally, one-on-one, well, one-to-group. But, you know, it's still the same effect, is you get to pick the guy's brain and find out how to put this guerrilla marketing in place for your own business, which is very important when we're working online. We don't have huge budgets a lot of the time when we're starting out, at least, to spend on advertising. And knowing these guerrilla marketing tactics is really the way to go.
It really is, Heather. I promise that it works, and it works for all kinds of businesses, and it'll work for the listeners to this show, because if they're taking an hour of their time to learn more about marketing, they're the kind of people who will act on the information, because that's the name of the game. Guerrilla marketing is not a spectator sport. It's for people who are willing to learn and then take action. And the people listening to this show have taken the action of spending an hour of their valuable time, and we both know that time is not money. Time is life itself. Mm-hmm. Those people are people who would be just ideal members of the association. They'd get the most out of it, and that's why we formed the association, so people can get more than their money's worth. So I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about my favorite topic, guerrillas and the Guerrilla Marketing Association. And I'm glad that marketingunwrapped.com/guerrilla is a way for people to get into the association at no cost and to kick the tires and give it a test drive and see what it's like with no risk whatsoever.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's been very much a pleasure speaking with you today, Jay. I still don't have any questions for you, but I think it's because you did such a good job explaining everything, and I'm hoping that everyone was taking notes when you gave the 7-sentence marketing plan, because, you know, that's very valuable stuff. They can go away right now and put that into play for their own business. So thank you so much for being here tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. If we had talked last week, I'd be able to say goodbye from Transylvania, but instead, I say goodbye from where I am, and good luck to everybody who was listening. And Heather Vale, thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk my fool head off to the point that nobody even is asking any questions. Maybe I'll get them when people join the association.
Okay, thank you so much, Jay. And everybody else, be sure to tune in next week. We've got Paul Colligan. He's going to teach you how to make money with podcasting. another very effective guerrilla marketing tactic, by the way. So tune in next week for Paul Colligan. And until then, keep unwrapping your online success.